The following content is intended for people who are blind or print impaired.
Engage.
You are listening to the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm Chris Skidmore, and this is Tech Tips.
Lego has been fueling the imaginations of children and adults around the world since 1947. Bricks for the Blind is dedicated to making this fun and stimulating world accessible to the visually impaired community. My guest this month is the founder of Bricks for the Blind, Matt Schifrin. Matt, thanks for being on the program this month.
Thank you so much, Chris. Great pleasure to be here.
And we're going to be talking about Bricks for the Blind and how, regardless of your visual acuity, you can put together a Lego model in just a bit. Before we get started, want to find out a little bit about you. I know you have done a lot. Who is Matt Schifrin?
I am a composer. I write musicals. I make Lego sets accessible for blind people. I play the accordion. I'm an opera singer. And ultimately, my goal is to create solutions to make blind people's lives more interesting, be it Bricks for the Blind or something else. I really want to give blind people access to experiences that they may not have previously been able to engage in.
Sounds great. Let's just dive right into this. What exactly is Bricks for the Blind, and how did you come up with the idea for it?
We are a nonprofit creating text-based building instructions so that blind people can build Lego sets. Basically, the way it works is we have instructions on our website, bricksfortheblind.org. They are free to download. Once you pick a set, you download our instructions. They're Word documents. You can read them using a screen reader, a Braille display, or blow them up on a big monitor so you can read the text. And they explain every step of the building process. And also, they have instructions at the beginning on how a sighted person or a service like Ira or Be My Eyes can help you sort the pieces so that you will not be overwhelmed by 100 pieces in each bag, so that you'll be able to build quickly and efficiently and ultimately enjoy the building process. Basically, when Lego builders Lego build, part of the reason that they do it is not just because of the pretty model that they end up with, but also because of the flow state that they enter. It's like a musician in a practice room or someone practicing their golf swing or whatever it might be, where you enter this state where all you are thinking about is that current activity. In our case, all you're thinking about is the bricks and where they go. And for blind people, that is really helpful because it calms you down and it really helps focus you. Having the opportunity to sit down and engage with one singular activity completely and fully and get lost in it, that is what Lego building provides. Now, going back to how Bricks for the Blind and Accessible Lego Instructions started, when I was 13 years old, a family friend of mine created the first ever set of text-based instructions. She wrote them out on a Perkins Brailler. You know, those things are heavy. Those things are clunky. They are hard to use. Mm-hmm. The fact that she was able to write out this massive binder full of instructions was amazing. And when I built that first set, it was such an incredible feeling because I was able to do this thing that all my friends at the time were doing just so gracefully. But it wasn't just that. It was a quintessential part of childhood. When I built that first set, Lego became not just a toy, but a way to experience the parts of the world around me that were previously not accessible because they were just so big and literally out of reach. When I was able to build the Statue of Liberty, for example, you can read about it all you want. You can even go out onto the viewing deck and experience the wind up there and whatever else. But it would be very difficult to understand the sheer magnitude and the sheer detail of that statue unless you were able to build it for yourself. And once you build that statue out of Lego, then you get much more insight into the shaping of it and the details of it and the overall breadth and depth of it. And that's a part of Lego that I find is really helpful. My friend and I, we kept writing instructions. And then my friend got very sick and she was going through radiation. She was going through chemo. And despite all of those things, she still had the energy. She was still writing instructions. She could barely speak when she would come home from treatment, but she was still able to write instructions and sort pieces into Ziplocs and label them so that I could build pretty much with the speed and the efficiency of a sighted builder. And after my friend died, I said to myself, okay, you have a choice. You can either bid this project farewell and say, okay, we've had a good run, or you can bring it to its worthwhile conclusion. What do you choose? And I said, I need to keep this project going. I want this to get to blind children. Because when we started adapting those instructions, we were getting emails from parents of blind kids saying, hey, this is really cool. My son wants to adapt XYZ set. Can you do it? But then we also got them from blind parents of sighted kids. And those blind parents, they were saying, you know, my kid really does not like when I help him. He's really grumpy about it, but I'm glad I can. I'm glad I have that option now. Sometimes sighted kids would email us and they would say, you know, we're not blind, but this is really cool. Keep this up. So afterwards, I went to Lego and I said, hey, Lego, my friend and I were able to adapt a bunch of sets. We were able to adapt the Tower Bridge, which is over 4,200 pieces. And Lego said, oh, well, yeah, we'll do it. And I went to Denmark and I was able to give them insight into kind of how to create these instructions. And it was really cool. It was a press event. Then television crews came and it was insane. But then there was radio silence. And I would talk to them. I'd say, Lego, how are you doing? And they'd be like, oh, good, good. How are your instructions coming along? Fine. A year later, I said, Lego, what is happening? And they said, yeah, you know, we can only adapt 20 sets a year. I was like, 20 sets a year? That's less than 3% of the amount of sets you guys make a year. And they're like, oh, well, that's what we can do currently. And then I said, you know, I need to start a nonprofit. I need to get writers on board, sighted volunteer writers and volunteer blind testers. I need to make this a machine that will spit out accessible instructions that are ready to go, that have been tested by blind testers who have found any errors, that have been written by sighted people who are passionate about Lego as a medium and who are able to give blind people not just the practicalities of where pieces go and how to place them, put a green 2x2 plate vertically on the front left corner of the 4x4 brick, but also the love of the medium. And we've been very lucky because our writers are Lego fans. And not only are they giving us the practical advice of how to build the set, but they're giving us Easter eggs and insights into different pieces and how Lego uses them in different sets.
And I want to reiterate something that you said, and that is, regardless of whether or not you're a kid, an adult, or regardless of your skill level, when you start working on that model, it gives you a mental escape from being an adult or from reality. And we all need that from time to time.
True.
Lego is not just for kids anymore. It is for adults.
Oh, very. And Lego are pivoting very hard into that adult market now. They have a whole series of flowers. They're botanicals. Mm-hmm. And we're very lucky because we're able to adapt pretty much that whole series. The reason we're so lucky is because we've done some interesting research into our audience. And a lot of our audience are blind older adults, blind senior citizens. And they're saying, this is so cool. I get to decorate my house. My flowers aren't dying, and it's so fun to build them, and I build them, and they're on my mantelpiece now. It's really cool to see, because also those flowers are not the easiest sets to start with. They have some really weird pieces. They have some really weird ways of combining pieces that I would not necessarily expect a beginning builder to feel comfortable with, but a lot of our builders are just jumping in head first, and the trouble is now they're hooked. It's such a joy to see both blind children and adults really thrilled by the prospect of what they're able to build. And the amazing thing is blind kids. I love teaching blind kids. I had this one kid, Alex. We're building a small set. He's had some Lego experience, but he's never built on his own using the instructions. He had friends help him. But he knows kind of the basic vocabulary of what different pieces feel like and the ways they might be able to connect. I say, okay, Alex, here are your pieces. I need to go. You have the instructions. I need to go and help these other kids. 5 minutes later, I come around to check on him. And he says, where's the next bag? I said, what next bag? He says, there must be more to this set. Where's the next bag? I said, there is no next bag. I check him. He's built everything in 5 minutes. And now I'm stuck with a kid who wants to desperately build more. But we didn't have a spare set. Thankfully, I was able to find something for him. But it's amazing to see kids giving it 110% and really not only succeeding, but doing it so effortlessly and loving the process so much, they just want to keep going.
So what is the biggest set you've done?
The biggest sets that we've done with Bricks for the Blind are about 2,000 pieces. Basically, you don't want to tire out your writers because writing a 2,000 piece set, that takes about a month and a half, depending on how quickly the writer is able to do it, because all our writers are volunteers. And so they have families, they have kids, they have jobs. And the most committed ones, we see them sending the instructions at 1 a.m. And I'm thinking, you should really be asleep.
Yeah, they're kidding.
And they're like, no, I finished the set. They say, I want you to test it. Also, depending on how quickly you test, as a blind builder who is collaborating with us, that's also, that may take more time. And so basically, I don't think the Enterprise is currently an option for us. I would love it to be.
Yeah.
But our writers are just, they're overloaded with stuff.
Currently, how many kits does Bricks for the Blind offer?
We have over 460 Lego sets, instructions for them, I should say, from over 40, let's see, I think it's 48 Lego, different Lego themes or genres of set.
Okay.
So that's anything from Animal Crossing to Western sets. We try to stay as contemporary as possible, because we want blind people to have access to new sets. But if occasionally I stumble upon a simpler set from the 90s, I might grab a sighted person nearby and just adapt it because it's cool.
You've mentioned several times how you have a large volunteer writer base. I'm curious, has LEGO reached out at all to help with that writing process, or are they staying pretty much in their own lane?
Basically, they know that we exist. We are not partnered with them. But they know that we exist, and we do check in with them to make sure that we are not stepping on their toes from an adaptation standpoint, because they are creating their own instructions. We are in communication with them to make sure that we don't adapt the same stuff that they do, because then that would just be unnecessary.
Understood. Makes a lot of sense.
Yep.
Tech tips is on the North Carolina Reading Service.
We are talking with Matt Schifrin about Bricks for the Blind. And Matt, if you would, you've touched on this earlier, but if you could, walk us through the process of how you take the graphical instructions from LEGO and turn them into something that is accessible for someone with a visual impairment.
So our first step is we give it to a writer. And what these writers do is they have the visual instructions, and then we have this instruction writing guide that we give them, which has all the info about best practices for instruction writing. Then they write out where each piece goes, and they create grouping instructions which tell the sighted people which pieces to group together, which steps. Steps for pieces 1 through 4 go in one container. Pieces for steps 5 through 8 go in another container. That allows the blind person to build quicker. So all that stuff is written by the sighted writer in a document, then gets sent back to us. We send it to a blind tester. Tester gets a copy of the set, builds it, and makes note of any mistakes. Then that gets sent back to the writer, who revises. And sometimes these sets, depending on their size and complexity, they may go through multiple rounds of revisions, which is perfectly fine. Once that's done, we post the set, we pay the writer, reimburse them for the set, do the same to the tester, then it's on the website for anyone to build.
Aside from sorting the bricks into smaller to manage lots, what other advice would you give someone new to LEGO?
At the beginning of each of our instruction files, there's an introductory section that talks about the different kinds of pieces that you might encounter and different terms and acronyms that you might see. For example, we use PPP a lot, which means previously placed piece, so that when you're putting something next to the previously placed piece, you don't have to write out previously placed piece. We also have a general description of the different types of Lego pieces that you might encounter. Plates, which are flat and have studs on them. Studs are the bumps on a Lego brick. Mm-hmm. Bricks, which are shaped like bricks and also have studs on them. And then there are tiles, which are smooth and have no studs on them. And those are the three basic tenets of Lego brick, or Lego piece, I should say. There are also pins and Technic parts. Technic is Lego's more engineering-centered sets. The good thing about those is that's all explained in the intros of instructions to newer sets. So if you read that introduction, you should be good to go. Another thing that might be helpful is having Be My Eyes or Ira at the ready, or another assistance service, to make sure that if you get stuck, if you get flustered, if you don't have sighted help nearby, just to have someone be able, let's say you drop a piece and now you don't know where it is and you're on the ground doing the human starfish trying to find it. That might be a case for Ira or Be My Eyes. Also, Seeing AI, the free Microsoft app, has a built-in color identifier, which is quite good at identifying Lego colors. So if someone missorts for you, or you missort yourself and there's a color mix-up, that is also helpful. I would suggest, if possible, for your first set to have a sighted person on standby. I know that they don't magically appear at our beck and call, but just so they can make sure that you're generally on the right track, that you're picking the right pieces. But opinions amongst blind builders vary wildly. Some people are saying, you know, I don't need sighted help. I'm fine. I can sort pieces on my own. And I respect what you're doing. Get out of my hair. Which also makes perfect sense. My goal here is not to prescribe a certain building methodology. In my experience, having built medium to larger sets as well, a magically appearing sighted person can be useful just because there are some points, if you're building late into the night and it's like 1 a.m., it's very easy for your brain to get fried and you make some sort of mistake, or sometimes you think you've messed up, but you haven't. And that might be a case where the next morning, if you have a sighted person, you may ask them, hey, I'm stuck on step 184. What's wrong? And they may look at it and they say, oh, the subbuild you've put is one column to the left. And you read the instructions and you realize, oh yeah, I messed up. It should not be here. It should be one column to the right. But different builders have different building styles, methodologies, and approaches. And I respect that. And my goal is I want them to build however they feel most comfortable and however they feel most relaxed and engaging. I want them to have fun. I mean, ultimately, that's why our slogan is you can build this.
You've talked about how Bricks for the Blind is reliant on volunteers. If someone would like to become a volunteer, how do they go about doing that?
The easiest way is to email info@bricksfortheblind.org. Mm-hmm. info@bricks, B-R-I-C-K-S, F-O-R-T-H-E-B-L-I-N-D.org. We are currently looking for instruction writers. We currently have a lot of testers who are all testing like crazy. If you'd like to become a tester, let me know. I will put you on our testing list because it's like a waiting list for testers, basically. We are currently not looking for new blind testers, but if you want to test, let me know. I will put you on our tester waiting list. If you are a writer and if you're interested in writing, we need you because Lego are just... they are producing sets like crazy. And each year they produce, I think, 400, 500 sets. And we are on track to have 300 sets posted by the end of, I think, by the end of this year. And when I say posted, I mean in 1 year. Generally, we have 465 on our site now. And the good thing also, logistically, is that each week we put new sets up. We also want to make sure that we are covering variety of different Lego series. So we have Sonic the Hedgehog sets. We have Animal Crossing sets, architecture sets, Batman sets, Minions sets, Disney sets, Friends sets, which are Lego's version of Barbie or Polly Pocket. Harry Potter, lots of Harry Potter. Marvel superheroes and DC stuff as well. So if you're a comic person, we have you covered there. Basically, we just want blind people to find something that tickles their fancy and then just have at it and get building.
And that's the best way to look at it. Regardless of your age or skill level or ability, get into it and have some fun.
Absolutely.
Speaking of age, I know Lego makes Duplo block sets for young children. Are there any Bricks for the Blind kits available for these youngest builders?
Yes, we do have some Duplo sets available. And the cool thing also is that we partnered with First Lego League, who are an international robotics education organization. Each year, they have these building challenges that not blind people, that their teams go through. As a kid, you can be part of a First Lego League team, and then you solve all of these robotics challenges, and you have to build obstacle courses for your robots and whatever. And for the past couple of years, we've been collaborating with them, and we make all the instructions for their teams accessible. So if a blind kid wants to join a First Lego League team and his teacher assigns him build number 8, fully accessible. They download the instructions from the First Lego League site and bam, they can build that on their own. In terms of Duplo, I brought First Lego League up because they have three divisions. They have Explorer, which is their, I think it's their baby, their like Duplo version. Then we have Discover, which is their, we are building with bricks now version. And then they have their challenge, which is their lots of technic, scary engineering stuff version. Mm-hmm. And we adapt all those. But on our site also, we do have some Duplo sets. We don't have a lot of them just because younger kids we want them to get into it. But the instructions are, all of those Duplo sets are designed for parents to really be sitting with their kid and using those instructions to walk them through it. But the good thing is also, if the kid is reading those instructions on a Braille display or using a screen reader, we really want to encourage that independent assistive technology use as well.
How can someone request a set be added to the library if it's not already in there?
They should email me at that same info@bricksfortheblind.org address, and it may be that we are already working on it. Basically, just ask me, hey, do you have any plans to adapt XYZ? My goal here is when you are starting out, please start with something that we have, because it may be that you might want XYZ, but logistically, it would just be impossible for us to adapt it. And we don't want you to be stuck with a set. You bought a thing thinking that we could adapt it, and we just might not be able to. But sometimes it's often the case that people write us and they say, hey, could you do something, something? And we say, yeah, I have a free writer. I can get on. But the important thing is, like, some sets, the Eiffel Tower is 10,000 pieces. Could it theoretically be adapted if I had five writers working simultaneously, each on a part of it, morning and night? Yes. But is it realistic to think that blind people, a lot of whom statistically are living on or below the poverty line, and can I expect them to be buying this? Heck no. We want to make Lego sets as accessible and affordable and easily findable as we can for blind people. Adapting those super mega ultra cool sets, would I love to? Yes. But our writers are, we're just not in a position. We can do a couple of them a year, one, two, maybe three. And we're thinking like 2,000 pieces or less. And so just basically all I'm saying is please feel free to write me and ask about sets that you might be interested in. I will do my best to reply promptly.
So when can we expect the Lego Death Star?
Oh, well, if, dear Chris, if you would like to make your life even more daunting by becoming a writer for us, I mean, hey, if you want to become a writer. The cool thing about that writing process, though, is we do level up our writers. Mm-hmm. So a writer, they might start at a 100-piece set. And then if they like it, we level them up. We say, hey, would you like to do a 300-piece set? Yes, they say. And now we have writers who have, quote unquote, graduated from 100-piece sets to 800 or 900-piece sets.
You're listening to Tech Tips on the North Carolina Reading Service.
We are talking with Matt Schifrin about Bricks for the Blind. And Matt, what would you say is the most unique set you've ever done?
This is an older set. I think the Fairground Mixer was a lot of fun. And it's a ride. And unfortunately, this set, the trouble with Lego sets is that they retire. And then they become collectibles. So sometimes when we'd post a set, it would be very financially reasonable. The reason we're staying so recent with our sets is we don't want blind people to get stuck financially because they want a such and such, but now it's out of reach for them. But this Fairground Mixer is really cool because it's a fairground ride that comes on these two trucks and it spins. The middle of it spins, but also the seats spin individually. And it's also cool because it comes with a dunk tank that you can dunk minifigures into, and a strength tester ride where you have these mallets and you slam the plunger of it. And
I know what you're talking about.
Belt. That's useful. Unfortunately, older set, harder to find, but it's useful from an accessibility standpoint because you might have been to a fair, but you can't touch the ride in such detail as it's spinning. But another one, a more recent and thankfully more financially feasible set is the Saturn V rocket. And that one is really fun because it's not only is it a piece of history, but it's very interesting from a building standpoint. It is a cylinder, a complete cylinder. And it makes you wonder, how is Lego able to achieve the shape of a cylinder with such blocky pieces? And it's really interesting to look at the sheer ingenuity that the designers have put into the set, because it's using pieces that we would not expect to be used in certain ways. It's like wordplay, but for Lego bricks. Just seeing that design ingenuity is also really fun. And also, it's just cool to have a big rocket with a cone on top sitting there.
And speaking of pricing, we noticed last year that Target and Walmart were consistently higher on their Lego sets than Best Buy was, of all places.
And also, if you're looking for a certain set, general tip, check clearance aisles of grocery stores. What's its face?
Dollar stores.
Thank you. Like Walmarts and Targets and stuff. But also eBay. eBay is your friend. If you are willing to not be Mr. Perfectionist and purchase a set without the box and without the instructions, be able to build it that way, then you can get it significantly cheaper. And oftentimes, its complete pieces aren't missing. Worst case scenario, if they are, Lego will replace them for free.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. If you say, hey, I ordered a such and such, and I'm missing such and such pieces, could you please replace them? They oftentimes will.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Now, you're probably going to ask, well, how am I supposed to figure out what pieces are missing? There are a couple of very accessible parts inventory websites. The one I like the most is called Brick Owl. And if you go to Brick Owl, and if you Google your set name, and then the word inventory, and then Brick Owl, you will find a list of all the different pieces, and all the colors they're in, and how many of them there are. Brick Owl is fully accessible on iOS. I haven't tested it on a PC, but the good thing on iOS is that the different pieces that you'll need are headings. So you can just change the rotor to move by heading, and then off you go. Swipe one to the right to get the quantity, and I think another one to the right to get the color.
How can people learn more about Bricks for the Blind?
The easiest thing to do is go to bricksfortheblind.org, and we have all the information about the different Lego sets and how to use us is on there. We also have a GoFundMe if anyone is interested in donating.
What about socials?
Absolutely. We are on Instagram at @bricks4theblind. We are on Facebook. We are on LinkedIn. We have a YouTube channel that we are posting new content to and working on getting more content up there. And the YouTube channel, I think, is Bricks for the Blind, one word. We are working on a TikTok if you're into more short-form content.
Sounds like a winner.
The amazing thing to see is that our sets have been downloaded over 20,000 times by people from over 120 different countries in the last year. It is such a joy to be able to bring this to people from Angola to Zaire.
I am so happy for that. Is there anything else you would like to add that I may have missed?
All I will say is just that happy building to you all. If you have any questions, please reach out. I am here, and enjoy yourselves.
Holy cow, man. This was enjoyable, entertaining, and your time was very much appreciated.
Yeah, make sure you build that Lego set that you mentioned you bought.
I will keep you posted.
Perfect.
If you would like to learn more about Bricks for the Blind, visit their website at bricksfortheblind.org. If you are interested in volunteering or would like to request a Lego set be adapted, email Matt at info@bricksfortheblind.org. During our conversation, Matt mentioned several Lego resource websites. LegoAudioInstructions.com offers audio-based instructions for both screen readers and magnifiers. BrickOwl.com contains set inventory lists, complete sets, and parts. BrickArchitect.com, EuroBricks.com, and Jay'sBrickBlog.com are great discussion forum and product review sites for all things Lego. I would like to thank Matt Schifrin once again for his time. It was greatly appreciated. The purpose of the North Carolina Reading Service is to connect people who are blind and print impaired with each other, their families, and the community by delivering news, information, and entertainment using the latest audio technology. For more information about the North Carolina Reading Service, visit us online at ncreadingservice.org. You can also give us a call. Our telephone number is 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138, the North Carolina Reading Service. We breathe words into your life. We've run out of time for this month's episode of Tech Tips. I hope you've enjoyed it. If there's something you'd like covered in a future episode, send an email to techtipspodcast@gmail.com. I'm Chris Skidmore for the North Carolina Reading Service. Tech Tips is available online by visiting our website at ncreadingservice.org. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. If you have questions or comments about the North Carolina Reading Service, visit us online at ncreadingservice.org or give us a call. Our telephone number is 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to Tech Tips on the North Carolina Reading Service.